Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning, councillors.
Morning.
Good morning.
In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2025, notice is hereby given that a special meeting of the Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in the Council Chambers by hall on the 5th of March, commencing at 9 with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda paper. In accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025 Part 2, Division 1, a notice of the meeting was published on Council's website on the 2nd of March 2026. General Manager's certification. Pursuant to Section 65(1) of the Local Government Act 1993, I hereby certify with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided for the guidance of Council in its agenda that A. such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has the qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B. where any advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualifications or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice from an appropriately qualified, experienced person. Section 65(2) forbids Council from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering that advice. Dated on the second day of March 2026 by Stephen Mackey, our General Manager. Meeting commenced at 9:00. The audio recording, I won't read all the regulations there, I'll just cover that the Mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that Council meetings, not included closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on Council's website in accordance with Council's policy 2017-50. The Mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of Council meetings without prior approval being granted. Acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, past, present and future. The conduct of the Council meeting. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public whilst present of Council's workplaces. These premises form part of Council's workplace and it is expected that everyone who attends Council meetings will behave in a polite and respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. As I said, welcome to everyone, and we have quite a big gallery, which is really good. It's showing a lot of interest in council business in our town, so well done to everyone. I won't take your names individually, I just would like to say welcome. Present is Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Miller, Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour, Councillor Meacham, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Trivette, Councillor Hall, General Manager Stephen Mackey, our planner Louisa, and Katrina is our EO. Are there any apologies? No. Declaration of pecuniary interest. Declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict of interest by councillors and staff. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Regulation 10 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2025, the chairperson of a meeting is to request councillors to indicate whether they have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest or conflict of interest in any item. Is there anyone?
4.1,
Councillor Hall. Any others? There is one, and that is myself. So under section 48, subsection 1, 2 and 3, I declare a potential conflict of interest, subsection 3. It indicates I must now leave the meeting and I will delegate the Deputy Mayor to chair this special meeting. Really sorry, Gallery, I'd love to be in this, but it's conflict.
Can I ask a question?
No, I'm sorry.
No. How do I get into this?
Sorry.
I've opened it, but I can't.
Deputy Mayor, you'll come up here, please. And big apologies to Gallery.
That's what I thought. It was there last time. You see, last time I was used it, but at least we did that one. Yep. Oh God, I've just taken it off every night.
Are you into it, Yvonne?
No.
Oh.
I hate computers. They hate me.
As the Mayor said, welcome to everyone. We're up to item 4. Will someone move that we go into the now act as a planning authority? Councillor Meacham and Cassidy. Those in favour? All carried. Item 4.1. Councillor Cassidy, the second. Councillor Meacham. Given the gallery, I think everyone's across what's happening. Do we need to have some discussion, Louisa? I think everyone's across it. But
yeah, look, the thing being is that, you know, it's normal procedure. You've got a mover and second.
Got a mover and second, so does anyone have any discussion?
Chairman, I think we should suspend standing orders to allow discussion to take place around the table. It's an important development for the community, and I'd like to move that we suspend standing orders to allow further discussion backwards and forward to Louisa.
Was that you?
Seconded.
Will someone like to ask a question to start everything off? That motion carried.
We've got to put the motion.
Those in favour?
Suspension standing orders.
Yep.
Carried, and myself included.
Now you've got debate.
Yeah, so would someone, Councillor Archer, you want to...
Well, just to kick the ball off, Louisa, I've got some questions that I'm wondering if you can't give me some guidance on. Amongst the things that have been raised with me are signage, access as far as loading and unloading goes, and also the noise from a generator, all of which I think we've got solutions, but I'd like to just seek your guidance in terms of whether they are conditioned or should be conditioned as far part of this process goes. Particularly I'd like to start with the signage first, looking at the diagrams and the maps, it appears as though the signage is in the same place, but there appears to be no directive in terms of the type of signage, whether it's bright, whether it's not. I've had a lot of feedback in regard to an existing sign nearby, which hasn't been positive, and people are keen not to repeat that type of very bright signage in the heritage precinct. And so is that covered underneath the directions you've given them? It appears to me as though there's some flexibility there, and I'm wondering if that's not something we should discuss and perhaps come to a decision on. In regard to the generator, I noticed it's quite a large generator, 125 kVA, and we've got 40 kVA generators on our farm, 8 of them, and half of them are silent series, and the silent series makes an enormous difference for people working nearby. So it doesn't appear to be specified that the generator needs to be a silent series type generator, and can I suggest that it might be another condition that we should be discussing around the table as to try and minimise the impact on existing neighbours. Now I realise that these generators are only going to be used once in a blue moon, hopefully, that they're not something that'll be running all the time. But if I was a neighbour, I'd like to have some protection as far as the noise that would be emitted. Because I can imagine what happens with ours. We've got them on cool roofs, for instance, and when the power goes off, they come on, which might be 3 a.m., it might be 8 a.m. And it's a big difference in the middle of the night as opposed to starting during the day. So I'd like to just suggest that we consider conditioning a silent series in the generator. Part of that, it doesn't appear to me as though that's been one of the conditions set for such a large generator. And also with the loading bay, I've had some concerns expressed to me about it's obviously going to need to provide good access, and you can't run a business without good access. And it appears to me as though from the plans, a lot of the issues that could be of concern have been addressed, but one of them is, will the footpath be blocked during the time when children will be walking to and from school? I'd just like some direction as to whether that's likely to be the case. And should we condition when the loading bay can be used, if it does extend onto the footpath, to allow us to just make sure that transit's safe for kids going to and from school?
So I'll go over to you, Louise, and we've got the developer here if you need some help.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to signage. So I'm hearing that there might be some concerns that some of the signage might be illuminated.
Correct.
There's no proposals to have illuminated signage. There is a proposal to light some of the signage, but that will be baffled. And I'm fairly certain so condition two, all lighting associated with the use must be baffled, so that it does not cause emission of light onto adjoining residential properties. That's the standard which has been applied. It's the development application talks about lighting the supermarket when the supermarket is operating, and that it won't be lit when it's not operating. So does that satisfy signage?
Amongst the things that have been raised to me is disappointment at an existing sign nearby, and they didn't want to see that type of signage repeated in the heritage precinct. And so I think if that's as far as we can go, that might be a sensible compromise. But certainly that very bright signage has been seen to be deleterious to driving into the town. You see a lovely arch of trees, is the way it's expressed to me, and then all you can see as soon as you turn onto the main street is a very large sign. What is that? That catches the eye rather than the beautiful entry to Bothwell Township.
I think I know what you're talking about, Councillor. And
that extends further into the street.
Yes, no such sign is proposed. Mm-hmm. Signage is quite difficult to assess in the Tasmanian planning scheme, and also signage in the heritage precinct as well is an additional complication. But my colleague at Southern Midlands, the manager of Heritage Works, has, as you'll see in the attachments, also assessed the impact of the signage on the heritage precinct, and there were no further conditions required for that.
Thank you.
Louisa, may I suggest if it is possible to include an auto dimming device?
Nancy? Well, there's no requirement in the Tasmanian planning scheme for that. The requirement is that lighting be baffled, and I'm content with that condition.
Could you imagine if we baffled the one sign there? Councillor Archer's talking about, you still see that red glow 2-3 kilometres down the road, truthfully.
I think that's a separate issue, though, with respect, Councillor.
Okay.
Shall we move on to the generator? So, condition... you are correct, Councillor, in assuming that the generator won't be operational all the time. I believe it's for emergency purposes. So the development standard 12.4.3 setback P3 looks at generators, and there is a requirement for the generator to be, first of all, located to reduce any emission or any loss of amenity, and to be baffled or insulated to not cause an unreasonable loss of amenity to adjacent residential properties. And I have added a condition here, condition 3, the generator must be baffled or insulated so as to not cause an unreasonable loss of amenity. So I've added that condition. Hope that satisfies your concerns. Obviously we can't
specify what type.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, well, I think as long as the developer's aware that that's an issue that, that council would like to see addressed, that would go a long way to allaying the concerns I've had expressed to me. I know that with our own generators, that the silent series ones, you can't hear the damn things 10 metres away, whereas others I can hear a kilometre away. And, and they are still encased in a casing that reduces the noise, but there's an enormous difference between the silent series and not a great increase in price. And so I just like that to be amongst the discussion that's had to try and make sure we don't have a negative impact on the neighbours.
I'm sure that will be taken on board.
If I could just make a comment, whether the one at Booze is in a residential area, I'm not aware of any complaints, and it does run at odd time when there's a power failure.
May I ask Councillor Archer, since you're so familiar with these generators, the exhaust, or, well, first of all, the fuel that's used, is it a petrol or is it diesel? And also the exhaust, is it a short stack or a long stack all the way up to the top of your roof, or what?
Well, I can't speak about an enclosed space of a building. I can only talk about farm use. And in terms of farm use, because of the relative... I'm unaware of large petrol ones. You can probably get them, but 99% of the ones are all diesel, which is just the way they are built, because they're built for industrial use largely, particularly one this size. I mean, it's a terrific generator, and I think it's good that the developer's putting it in. You know, no one wants to see all the freezers and coolings go off, or the cash registers if we're all wanting to use the facility. So I think it's great that it's going in. It's just a precaution that we do need to make sure there's no negative impact.
So do you have a short exhaust on your
It's absolutely the discretion of what of the purpose. Now, we have some with short exhausts, some with longer ones, but that would be, there's no way any developer's going to be putting fumes into a building. So I'm sure that would be covered. I'm only concerned about the amount of noise that might have a negative impact at odd hours in the morning of the night.
So when yours is running the diesel generators, does it produce a lot of exhaust fumes and so forth?
Not really. No, they're very efficient motors. You know, we only use two brands of Kubota, so the ones 90% of the large industrial users are, and they're very quiet, they're clean, they're a wonderful thing, really.
But thank you very much. Thank you.
Any more, Julie?
On the generator?
Sorry?
We're talking about the generation.
Oh, no, not something.
So we want to move on to something else.
Yes,
we've suspended meeting procedures. Are there any comments from the gallery regarding that?
We've just had one final thing that Councillor Archer raised, which is about the loading bay. And the question was, is it likely that during delivery time, the vehicle might be parked over the footpath during when school children are coming to and from school. So the acceptable solution for the delivery times, which the application meets, is between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday to Friday. So yes, it may be possible on occasion that a delivery might occur during a time when people are going to school. However, it will be for a short period of time. The truck won't be parked there. You know, it will just be there unloading for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes at a time. But I would note that when we talk about footpaths, it's more really the public realm out there. There's no real defined footpath, and there is quite a large verge, if you like. So I don't believe it would cause an issue, and I do think that people, school children as well, will be able to walk around the delivery truck in a safe environment, because there is a large setback to the road proper, being Patrick Street.
And also the other side of the road's available generally, although amongst other questions I'm going to raise are trucks and things, but as long as you're satisfied with the weather, that's great. You know, I just needed to be sure from the questions I had asked of me that it's going to be safe during those school hours for the children to pass by.
Julie's next.
Mine's about parking. Mm-hmm. It shows it for cars. a lot of cars, towboats, and they just pull in there the proper way, because I'm meant to park facing down the street, the way you come in with the vehicle, that's always been here, I don't know how many years. But it doesn't show any area for larger vehicles, trucks and things like that to pull in.
Mm. So under the parking code, you only have to address car parking. You don't have to make allocation for truck parking or caravan parking. So they only have to address car parking. And I appreciate that car parking is difficult on the property, and also the actual road itself in terms of Patrick Street and William Street, that junction is not, it could be better, could be clearly defined, which I think would also help, because I'm aware you can cut through Patrick Street past the lamp, past the electricity pole there, and come straight down. So I have added a condition here that a car parking plan be prepared before the use commences, and has to be approved by Council's Manager of Infrastructure and Works, and that needs to include, and it first of all needs to show turning paths for cars, and it's a tricky space because of the fuel bowsers as well. I have asked for a minimum of 4 car parking spaces and a disabled space as well be provided, and some bicycle parking, some allocated bicycle parking as well. So I'm hoping that that will address some of the car parking issues. And I've also made a recommendation that council looks to improve the public realm on William Street for pedestrians, and look at that junction where we can. Obviously Patrick Street is owned by the Department of State Government, so we're a little bit limited there. But yeah, there's certainly some improvements that could happen.
Well, it's a wonder that they've allowed to reverse out onto a public thoroughfare.
So
to reverse out of the car park onto a public thoroughfare.
Are you talking about this plan here?
Yeah.
Right. So this plan is a concept. It's not defined.
No.
So that's why we've asked for a proper engineered parking plan to be submitted, and that will have to go to the Department of State Growth for their input. I would like to assure everyone though that in terms of the truck and deliveries, that was sent to the Department of State Growth and they did not have any concerns with that.
Can I just with Julie's with the car parking, I've noticed that, as you said, that plan needs to be updated, but the disabled parking is right outside the bottle shop, where I would have imagined the disabled parking would have been better closest to the IGA, to the shop itself, or maybe halfway. but where it is.
There is one showing on the DSD side.
But it's way down by the.
No, there's one in front. No,
it's in the front.
Is it? Yes, oh, yeah. Well, so my boat, yeah, I didn't see that one.
So there's two.
Yeah. There's two, but yeah, that was only my concern.
Robert. Yes, Larissa, you and I, we had a discussion the day before about four questions, and I appreciate your input and elucidation. I would like to ask, because you specifically stated an engineered parking plan, I think that's the opportunity for us and for the developer and for the town, especially motorists who come off of William Street onto Patrick Street. I think that we need to protect the sight lines coming off of William Street and making either a right turn or a left turn so that we can see maybe 400 or 500 meters down the road. Current situation, you'll have, and I think some time ago I sent you and I sent the general manager a photograph that my wife had taken when I was at the wheel of a delivery van, and it just blocked the view of Patrick Street, cannot see around it. And that forces motorists to progress about halfway into the intersection before they can actually see far enough down Patrick Street to enter Patrick Street. So if somehow in your wording, urge state roads to take a look at that. The sight lines need to be protected. I know you said it's a difficult corner, I accept that. I know you can't condition it necessarily, but I think that we, it may be outside of this development application discussion, but I think we need to think about the long-term future. Thank you.
David, I note that the property extends to that part, what would you say, south on William Street. Is there scope for the development of more effective car parking in that part? It's 18 Patrick Street. So the on the Hamilton side of the Hamilton side of the William Street. There's a Is there scope for us to push the developer there to establish a car park there? That would seem better in some respects in terms of traffic safety.
William, are we talking about William Street?
Yes, we are talking about William Street.
So that's really up to council. That's council's responsibility to try and improve the car parking along there. I think it could be a little bit more efficient. William Street.
I'm thinking in terms of the actual sort of block, damn, I've just like lost it. In terms of the actual block of
the property,
spare land there.
The property itself, next
property
to the bottle
itself.
Shop.
Yeah.
Which bit, sorry?
Next to the bottle shop.
Here.
Yeah, next to the land owned by the on the shop.
Yes.
Is there possibility of parking next to the bottle shop?
Yes.
On Big William Street. Yeah. I assume that's what.
Here. Called.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
So you're talking about this bit here?
That's
not in the property boundary.
Oh, I thought it was.
It's a separate title.
Okay. Sorry, my mistake. Excuse me then.
That's okay.
Louisa, thank you. Any more questions?
Yes, I know, Louisa, that there's an existing drainage line. And I remember when we were approving the house next door that there were some drainage issues which were addressed by the property owner, and it looks to me as though the drainage of this flows under the building or along the side of the building. Have you actually looked at how this compares to our flood plan on the eastern side of the building?
So all of the flood mapping is available now. It's on the list. The SES flood mapping, and we have riverine flooding and overland flooding, and this property does not trigger the requirements for any flood risk assessment. It's not in the flood mapping.
So it's off river flooding.
Sorry?
We know there's a lot of water comes down through that part of the town.
Yes, it would be shown on the overland flooding if it was.
And that doesn't trigger?
It's not in the overland flooding, no.
Right.
So it doesn't trigger the requirements for any flooding. And I note that there's no new development proposed in the drainage easement. The house is existing.
Exactly.
Any more questions? Well, I'll put it to the vote then.
I've got to resume standing orders.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Move to resume standing orders, David and Yvonne.
Vote on that?
Yep.
Yep. Carry. So we've got.
I was the mover.
The resume planning orders and no more questions.
Councillor Cassidy, you move the motion.
You move the motion.
I move the motion. I'd like to just very briefly speak to it. And firstly, I just wanted to recognize Leanne Datlin there and thank the Datlin family for their service to the community. It's been long and hard, I know. Thank you. Secondly, I would say that I think all of these questions that could have been put to Louisa the day before, as I had, and she could have answered all of them. I know perhaps raising them here may bring some comfort in the minds of the community that we're actually thinking as councilors, but still I think that we could have given Louisa an opportunity to address all of these the day or a couple of days before when this development or this agenda item came out. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Who seconded that?
David. Motion.
You finished, Robin?
Yes.
Yep. So I'll put the motion that development application, whatever, take it that as read. The recommendation is for approval, so I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillor, everyone.
Except for John Horwood.
Motion carried.
Yep. Meeting closed.
Meeting closed. Meeting closed. 9:35.
Very good.
Sorry about that, Steve.